on our hearts. And we just thank you for this amazing worship. We ask every single person, Lord, to meet with that absolute perfect freedom that you've granted us. Thank you also for our foundation in Christ. And thank you, Father God, that by your grace, nobody today, or tonight here, Lord, will sit in even there. Thank you, Father God, that nobody here will have to settle for Christ. Thank you, Father God, that we speak and pray, Lord, in faith, that every single person, every single child here tonight will have their seat at the Father's table. And they will have their allotted portion, Father. They will have their fresh manna tonight. And we thank you for that, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, that nobody will leave your church, your home, your house, hungry or thirsty. And lastly, Lord, we just speak. We say, thank you, Jesus Christ, the rock. Thank you guys for having us. It's such a privilege, myself and Edna. As you've heard earlier, we're from Shofar Tabelview. Apologies for the font. It just slipped on my computer. If you're not here, who the font of the message with the sermon title, so I'm sure there's enough grace. Yeah, we're from Shofar Tabelview. We've been pastoring that church for the last 2 years. Really enjoying it. And we're enjoying the cake. Well, I'll tell you a little bit more about ourselves. We've got 2 young daughters, Frida and Sophia, at home. They enjoy the kingdom and they enjoy the church life with us. We've been in Shofar for a number of years. We were actually in Shofar on Mama's Day. As you can hear from my eloquent Afrikaans English, we were in Mama's Day for about 5 years before that. We enjoyed Shofar. And God just took us on a journey. I might just share one or two nuggets of that journey with you tonight, just to highlight the things of God. But tonight's message is all around peace. Now we've been stepping in the ways, or stepping through a mirage of detail and amazing things that God has brought forth concerning faith this last 2 months or so in our church. And this particular message that I want to share tonight is something that, and by the way, it's not a case of just grabbing a sermon and running and saying, okay, great, you can't tell me any of my stuff, so it's very easy. I'd like to just check that it's prophetically kind of just on the radar and not just something that I got out of the file. But I just asked God and he said, yes, definitely, this is something that I can share. And it's just around peace in the context of faith, but we're going to quickly look at the definitions later on and you'll see why I think it's really important that us as Christians and us as just the Westerners need to just think about these things. Before we do so, we can just quickly pray and just lift up the message to God. God, I thank you that our faith will not be based on my words, but your Holy Spirit and power. And I thank you, God, that that your living waters can flow from our belly by your grace. And I can just be a tool in your hand to guide me. Jesus, I just pray that you'll impart the seeds, the nuggets, the truth for each and every individual that you addressed to them tonight. Thank you for that. You're a good God. We honor you. We love you. Thank you for your freedom. Thank you for your son. Thank you for this evening in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, this is just the intro, so please bear with me. It's a bit of a tightrope, so let's just stay in the right mindset concerning this particular thing that I just want to throw out there. Just going to ask a question. How was your week? All of you, how was your week? Just a very, very simple question. Great. Pastor's wife, great. Tough. Cool. You've got great and tough. Anybody else, how was your week?
Chilled.
Cold.
Sorry?
Hard work.
Hard work. Yes. Who had a breeze? Whose week was an absolute breeze? Except Leon. It doesn't count if you're at your parents' place, I think. Or at his grandparents' then home again. But whose week was really an absolute breeze, a walk in the park? Be honest, come on. The three of you. Four, five. And you can lay hands on me afterwards. Who experienced no pressure whatsoever? No pressure. Absolutely no pressure. Who's had a bit of tribulation? Who had a bit of pressure? I first said no pressure. Anybody else who had a bit of pressure this week? Okay, cool. Keeping in mind that we're going to stay on this tightrope, we're not going to fall down. But sometimes it's just, I think, necessary for us as Christians, as people, as Western people, just to have an honest look of what real life looks like out there. It's really awesome to be up here. It's really awesome to be anointed by the Lord, to be used. Apologies for this thing. I know if I'm standing still, I'll try my best. It's really awesome to be planted by the Lord. It's really awesome to be used by the Lord. It's really awesome to have the privilege to do what we do. It's really nice to have a small group. It's really nice to be. Please, thank you so much, guys. It's really nice to be in a church environment, but sometimes we get in church and there at our place, I made the joke and said, yeah, sometimes you come in and say, Yahoo, Geseentheo, that just means in plain Afrikaans from Homesby, blessed are you, hi brother, hi sister. And everything looks nice and dandy on the outside. Yeah. Yet Monday is not that easy, or Tuesday is really hard, and there's stuff going on. Yet now my wife would really tell you that even in the privileged position that we are, with two young ones, they're on holiday now, things are sometimes not that perfect in our house. Mm. Not that perfect at all. Not like other people, but not that perfect at all. And there's a lot of pressure. Sometimes we need to be honest that life is a bit tough. Life sometimes throws a bit of a curveball at you. Bearing in mind, we're heading for Christ tonight, so please, let's just keep our eyes focused. But we need not try to hide or put under, or what is it, fear or nervous, rush away, put under the rug the fact that sometimes there's tribulation and life is a lot of pressure. But we need to know how to deal with it. I think if you tell me that I've got no problems whatsoever, my life is an absolute breeze, never any tribulation, never any pressure, I really can't sit at your feet. And I would be surprised. Because you know that there's absolutely no problem with having pressure in your life. Mm-hmm. If you're a Christian or not a Christian, if you've accepted Christ in your life or not, it does not matter. But there is sometimes a fair bit of pressure and tribulation. A couple of hard knocks in this life. But we're going to take heart tonight, and we're definitely going to take some faith out of it as well. We're going to start off with John 16:33. And I explicitly am going to just quote the second part there. We're going to come back right there to the first part, which you obviously know by now. But Jesus here at the word, Jesus himself speaking to his disciples, saying the following, in the world, in this world, you will have tribulation. But take heart, I have overcome the world.
Amen.
in this world you will have trouble. Other words, just there for tribulation is pressure, affliction, anguish, burden, persecution, tribulation, and trouble. Who came to church tonight to hear that? Praise God for you. Great stuff. I'm glad I checked the message with the Lord. But luckily we're not going to stay there. Concerning faith, I believe that sometimes we as Christians or people as a general think that we need to sidestep affliction. We need to sidestep tribulation. That something is really wrong if there's persecution, if there's tribulation, or if there's pressure in my life. I've just realized more and more, the more I'd like to escape these things, the less I'm able to. As soon as I think that the next season will be the breakthrough season, the grass that is greener on the other side will be so amazing, when I get there, there's pressure. Who of you really desperately wanted a girlfriend or a boyfriend? Because when that happens, oh boy, it's like heaven on earth. It's like, except for me, there was a fair bit of pressure. So now you've got the girlfriend or the boyfriend, by God's grace, and you're caught, or whatever we call it these days. And then there's a fair bit of pressure, but once I just have that engagement ring on my finger, then, the angel choirs are back to sitting behind me. Yet when you get to that stage, guess what? There's a bit of pressure. And now, obviously I can play this game until the old age, but we're not going to do that. But constantly, even if you long for your yearn for, you just want to step into the next season, well, that is going to be the season. If you just desperately want to get the team, or you just want to get the promotion, you want to get the job, the moment you get there, guess what? There's a new set of pressures. So I think just getting to a place where we're going to trust God, we're going to look at His Word, that, Lord, we don't want to be a people that constantly try to duck and dive pressure, affliction, persecution, name it what you want. We want to learn how to face it, take it head on, and overcome in it. Just a little asterisk, we're not going to get into detail, but just realize that sometimes there's persecution, pressure, affliction in your life that is definitely not God's part. So I believe that as Christians, mature Christians, remember that we need to discern in the difficulties we're in, because sometimes you find yourself in a desert, but God really didn't want you there at all. You might think, oh, being afflicted, and the thief said it's fine. No, it's not definitely fine. Just check with God first. Lord, help me to discern. That's why we've got the body. Check with the people that you're accountable to. And I'm going to share a bit of my testimony about that later. But I just felt, just to make a bit of an asterisk there, just remember that. So we're not going to escape, we're not going to escape pressure. We want to face it and overcome. Oswald Chambers said the following, that you've already read, I guess. Faith is the deliberate confidence in the character of God whose ways we may not understand at the time. So faith is not necessarily based on how we feel about our circumstances. Faith is not necessarily about how things pan out and about the pressures. But it's about the character of God within these pressures. That's what we will be rolling out tonight. That's what we're going to look at. And I really like that. We looked at the detail of faith at home, but we're not going to do that tonight. I'm just quickly going to stop at the definition of faith. We're going to look at faith and peace, just quickly the basics. Faith, you know what it is. You, all of you guys came in and you just sat down. You had faith that the chair that you're sitting on will hold you. You trusted that it is a chair. It's not something else. It's a foregone conclusion. Really deep stuff, guys. Just keep with me. You just sat down. You had a faith, you had a confidence about them, but there's deeper stuff, there's bigger stuff, there's things in our hearts. Faith is a complete trust or confidence in someone or something, reliance, dependence, hope, trust, or belief. The stuff that you can have faith in is a lot out there. It could be money, it could be people, it could be status, it can be pride, it can be substance, it can be anything whatsoever, but tonight we're just going to speak to God.
Amen.
Faith in God. So when I speak about faith, it's about a faith in God, a trust in God. And it's not just part, it's a wholehearted one, a complete trust, a confidence in God, a reliance, a dependence, a hope, a trust in Him. Who's got that faith? Come on, guys, you have that faith. by God's grace of saving you. You know, the scripture, our faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things unseen. So we're hoping on certain things in life. We're trusting in the character of our God. We're trusting in what? The Word of God, firstly and foremostly. Not my experiences, not my flesh, firstly and foremostly. Not what happened to my brother when he stepped out in faith. Things didn't work out now. We go back to the Word of God. We base our theology upon the Word of God. God clearly said that to me at a stage when we were really in the desert. I looked at other people that also stepped out and things didn't work out. God said to me, you go back to the Word. Mm-hmm. I'm not writing off testimonies, not at all. In my heart, I'm not knocking it. I'm just saying when we start, the foundation is the Word of God. Okay. Concerning our faith. That's very important. That was a dear lesson I had to learn. Because you don't know, if I base my faith more upon the testimonies or the failures in Edna's life, which there's very few people. I don't know what happens in the inner room. I don't have a full picture. I just see some fruit. I just read this word that you got and I just see this fruit. It doesn't make sense. So now I think, what did God do wrong? I don't know the whole picture. So it's very safe concerning faith testimonies to build your faith to go back to the Word of God. Let's move on. Peace. We had a couple over for dinner. Ironically enough, now that I think about it, they got their firstborn son on Friday night. Amazing. Lucas. They're so blessed, they're so proud about this amazing gift that God has given them. The man mentioned peace and he said to me, peace is worth more than gold. It sounds like a bit of a cliche, but just quickly think about it. Peace is worth more than gold. And he said the following, peace is the most underrated commodity in the world. Is there somebody that can agree with that?
Yeah.
Who's ever experienced true peace? And we can't really explain it. It's very difficult for me. I wanted to write it down. I wanted to explain what this true inner peace with God in my innermost being is. I can't really stand it. But have you experienced that absolute peace? Anybody?
Yeah.
Yeah. If you haven't, no problem. We're on it. But there's something about it that is really amazing. There's something like the love that is really gold. Now, I was drawn to God. I was really lost and broken. I lost my dad when I was in second year varsity. And so after that, especially, not totally, but especially the wheels just came off my life. So I bodied it up and I had a lot of friends, but I was totally broken, bachelor, as far as you can be from God. And I like to refer to the prodigal son story many a times, and that's exactly how I felt. Just out there in the big sky, totally broken. Laughing it up and very loud and lacquer on the outside, totally broken and messed up on the inside. So I'll wake up in the morning to my bed in res and I'll just be so full of torment and so full of fear and anxiety. And I'll just go out, put up a big facade, use a couple of swear words, go on, party it up the night and do the same, exactly the same thing the next day. Just to wake up again in a mess. Waking up in absolute anxiety, fear, and stress, and not knowing what to do. Luckily, I met my wife, and through my wife, I really met Christ. So that's a story for another day. But just that turmoil and that anxiety drew me unto God. I was so eagerly wanting this peace in my soul that I didn't know how to serve. How much of life do you think, for all human beings, how much of life revolves around seeking peace? How much of life do you think revolves around seeking peace? I'm not speaking Christianese now, I'm speaking for people. Every people, every person. How much of life do you think?
Most.
Yeah. I like that answer, so I'm going to keep to that. Everyone. I believe everyone is constantly seeking peace. Not necessarily with human beings, but just on the inside. They just want this inside of them to make sense. Mm. And it keeps on freaking out and being in turmoil. They just desperately want peace. Mm-hmm. What do people do to get peace? What do they do? Where do they go? What do they do? Anything that comes to mind.
Holiday,
yes. What a lie. What an absolute lie.
Wow.
What would you say? But holiday per se, we've been, we were part time. We met friends of ours who place in Stanford, and he's been in Stanford. Beautiful place. It's like heaven on earth, yet it's not. We go there, we pack everything that is really nice. And our kids.
That's a joke.
I thought it was a bit hard, so I kept back and I thought, no, we put that in there. We love our kids. And we packed everything that was nice, including our kids. So there was brilliant coffee, there was nice food, and there was enough Lego to keep them busy for years. There was tablets and iPhones and everything, and a lot of kakao. So everything was set for a perfect breakaway. And when we got there, we packed out, we thought, what a nice cabin. How blessed we are. God, you are good. But it was about an hour later when I just realized, we're tired.
Sure.
And all of this stuff, all of this nice stuff is not going to come.
Sure.
That might sound a bit gibberish to you or weird, but I just realized because I've learned the lesson quite a number of times, and we're looking at holiday now, but money can be the same, sex can be the same. Relationships can be the same, the next job, the next career, the next big thing can always be the things that we go for to get peace, just to be secure, just to feel safe, just to feel content. Mm. So we got in there, hour later, I just said to Edna, let's just hit pause. We both realized we're actually quite tired at the moment. And I realized there's no perfect coffee, no nice, very nice coffee shop around the corner, no running it next to the river, going for a jog, which are all very nice things to do. Please don't hear me. I'm not moaning, it was really nice. But I just quickly had to pray with it and say, let's just call this all into perspective.
Mm.
Let's just confess to God. And we said, Lord, we love these things, we thank you. Thank you for the people that blessed us. Thank you for good coffee, and thank you for our brilliant kids. Thank you for a nice Lego. All of these external things, we're thankful. Yet God, we call unto submission all of these things unto the Lordship of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Because you know what? Every one of those elements, everyone, can be taken away out of the equation. Yet if you take Christ out, you're not going to be. And so that brought a total change to the next couple of days. Was there no more turmoil? Was there no more pressure? No, there was. But just to have the right approach towards it and say, Lord, we love blessings. Blessings is good. Thank you for all of this nice stuff. But it needs to be subject to the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
For it to bring true peace.
Mm.
Peace is something everybody wants, yet very few find in life. You see that all over. You win the lottery, pour it all out, and unfortunately people actually lose their lives. There's a lot of things that the enemy will just show you, a lot of things that the world will just show you and say, if you only have this, if you only get into this, if you only come here, it'll feel better. But it doesn't. Definitions of peace, just for the sake of those who like definitions. Oxford Dictionary, don't mind that too much, but let's look at it. Freedom from disturbance, tranquility, a state or period in which there is no war or war has ended. Let's go to a biblical definition. Now, peace is a center theme throughout the Bible. I didn't count it, I read it up. 429 times in the King James Version, peace or a form of peace in the translation is used. It's something that's really near and dear to God's heart. That's why my friend here said that everybody seeks peace. That's why the Bible speaks a lot about peace. And it's something that we need to think about tonight. Now if you go into the word, you'll see there's two things. All of us know shalom. We know the word shalom, the word for peace. And then in the Greek, it's areia. It's just the phonetic study. We're not going to get into that too much. But we are going to quickly look at shalom. Shalom, the Hebrew word, the Hebrew language, many a time speaks more of just the plain things that we hear. There's so much more that goes beyond the spoken pronunciation. It conveys feelings, intention, and emotion. I had a look at the concordance, and what really stood out for me was the following. It doesn't only, shalom doesn't only refer to peace, it refers to complete peace. My people try to say. But if you've got turmoil, it does make a lot of difference to have a complete peace. It is a feeling of contentment. Who's had true contentment in life? Who's ever tasted true contentment? Contentment, completeness, wholeness, well-being, and harmony. There's another couple of words, just listen, because these are the things that we need, these are the things we seek. Completeness, wholeness, health, peace, welfare, safety, soundness, tranquility. It goes on, the list goes on to what true peace, true shalom is, a place of contentment, in the innermost being, a place of absolute peace, when nothing is disturbing. Who wants that? Great, it's still a couple of thirsty guys around. C.S. Lewis said the following, God can't give us peace and happiness apart from himself, because there is no such thing. There is no such thing in this life, and that's just the way it's all been put together. We've not made it up. It's in the Word. There's obvious evidence all about that there's no such thing as true peace for a human being apart from, away from, or removed from God. Now, how do I know that? Let's look at Scripture. We're looking at faith and peace today. Just two words. We're just throwing around the definition. We're kind of dissecting it and seeing how it all fits together. Because what do we want? What everybody wants. We want peace. Not once off, not when you get saved, we want to constantly, or as close as possible, walk in constant peace before God. Now, these two words are very important, faith and peace. Because there's another link, there's another word that I believe and know that is very important, just to put the mix together, just to make it perfect. What could you think that is? Everybody got to say. Okay, stop. I'll tell you. It's righteousness. Just remember these three ingredients. You'll see how they fit in just now. Don't worry. Righteousness. What is righteousness? Just in plain terms. Just what is righteousness? Right standing with God, yes. It's as simple as that. Righteousness is a right standing with God. Why would we need righteousness? What happened? When last did you? No, let me put it this way. Adam and Eve, Garden of Eden, way back, just before the apple, just before the serpent, you know, that whole ordeal. Were they in right standing with God? Yes. And what happened? Obviously, with sin in life, as Adam and Eve fell into sin, sin came into the world. And accordingly, that right standing with God, the righteousness that we use, was broken. That had to be fixed. We're going to get to that just now. Now, why am I saying there's a very important link between righteousness and peace? The times that you've experienced that peace is a couple of guys will put up here. The times that you've really experienced that absolute peace, that innermost peace or peace of mind, was that times that you were in right standing with God or not? I've noted that it's always the case that in the times that I truly know that I'm in right standing with God, then we might not be talking about where we are. But I know that I'm in right standing with God, those are the times that I really experienced this peace. It was not the perfect coffee. It was not the amazing supper. It was not the new car. It was those times that I knew, man, there's nothing between me and him now. Mm-hmm. There's really not. There's nothing in my pocket. I'm not hiding anything. The gunk that there was, I just repented and took that away. There's nothing between us. And his peace just flooded me. It's all in Scripture. Isaiah 32:17 says, the result of righteousness will be peace. Couldn't have stated any other way. But the result of righteousness will be peace. The effort of righteousness will be quiet confidence where you like to go quiet confidence. Those people that don't come in here, whoa, they just come in, they know who they are. Because they know who their God is. They're in right standing. The result of righteousness will be peace. The effect of righteousness will be quiet confidence forever. So we see righteousness and peace going hand in hand. In fact, they're like kissing. Let's look at this. Loving kindness and truth have met together. Righteousness and peace have kissed each other. That's quite well put, David. So we see there's an intimate relationship for the human peace and the righteousness that we've been given. So we've got peace. And we have no peace without righteousness. Now what about faith in there? Where does faith come from? We want peace. Remember? We're heading for peace. We say to each other, everybody wants it. How do we truly get it as Christians? What is God's heart? That'd be cool. Righteousness is the next step. I need to be in right standing. I know through the word of God and experience that if I'm not in right standing with God, I'm just in turmoil, I'm just a mess. But when I do have a right standing before God, I have peace. I wonder who I've heard the word faith in. How do we become righteous, God? By faith. The only way in which I can be righteous, the only way, is not my perfect, well-mannered lifestyle. It's not pushing, striving. It's not me perfecting, doing things, or conquering the Mosaic rule. It's not any of those things. It's faith in Christ.
Amen.
Righteousness. Faith in Christ. Quickly, just Romans 3, 21 to 26. I'm going to read it. It's not on there. But write it down if you want to go check. Romans 3, 20, oh, 21 to 26. But now, apart from the law, God's righteousness has been revealed, attested by the law and the prophets. That is, God's righteousness through faith in Jesus Christ. God's righteousness to us, given to us freely. You can come in right standing with God. You can come into a place where there's nothing between you and Him, only by faith in Christ. Saying, thank you, Christ, you paid the price. I wrapped up the bill, and by your grace you came and you paid. You just swiped your credit card.
Sure.
So I can be in right standing with God. To all who believe, since there is no distinction, and there, I'm just going to skip a few verses, 26, God presented Him to demonstrate His righteousness at the present time, so that He would be righteousness and declare righteousness the one who is faith in Jesus. Who's recently watched the box play Ireland? Oh yes. About three of us. I hope this joke is going to make sense. There's an ad that played in between the halves. An ad where a couple of guys are flying in from around the world. It's old mates, and they just want to get together again for old time's sake. And the one thing that brings them all together, and in fact they say it all comes together with it. But they say it all comes together with a castle.
Yeah.
Anybody ever works for SAD? Okay, because it's a lie. It doesn't. It really doesn't. If you look at the word of God, it doesn't. It all comes together with Jesus Christ.
Amen.
It all comes together with Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Guys, if we want peace, we need to be in right standing with God. The only way in which we can take the road of right standing is by faith in Christ. It all comes together with Jesus. With a king, not a castle. He's the beginning and the end, the Alpha and the Omega.
Amen.
Isaiah 9 verse 6 says, for to us a child is born. This is a prophetic word in the Old Testament referring to Jesus Christ that was coming. For us, to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor. These are words for Jesus, just in the Old Testament. Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Prince of Peace. We saw there Romans 5 verse 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace in God through our Lord Jesus Christ. If we want to have peace, we take a couple of steps for that. We need to be in right standing with God. The only way in which we are in the right standing with God is we have faith in Jesus Christ. Not only the fact that He lived, died, and rose again, but the things that He said in His gospel, the things that are stated in the locals, this is far-reaching and wide. It's not just a simple thing of believing in this historic figure. And no, so much more than that. It's believing in the totality of the truth of the person of Jesus Christ. And it can be, I believe, true for each and every single situation of your life. Because what He is the way, the truth, and the life. You'll always have an answer. You'll always have an answer. Let's go back. I said we'll come back to the whole entire John 16:33. Let's jump back to John 16:33.
Mm-hmm.
That first sentence there is quite important, and I believe it brings it all together again for us. I have said these things to you, that in me you may have peace.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus is here at work. He said, I've said these things to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world, you will have tribulation. Hey guys, unfortunately, guess what? There's pressure. You will have tribulation, but take heart, take confidence, take faith.
Mm-hmm.
I have overcome the world.
Mm-hmm.
The one that we're following, the one whose spirit lives inside of us, the one that gave us the manual to follow, says, take heart. Yes, it might suck sometimes. There will be pressure. You're not going to escape that as a Christian.
Mm-hmm.
But guess what? I have overcome.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what does that mean for us?
Mm-hmm.
We've been called to overcome. Now, the time for the testimony. My wife and I stayed in Cape Town. Just going to put it in a nutshell. Just bear with me. But we stayed in Cape Town. Really loved the Lord. I was practicing as a lawyer in Tukai of Steenberg. She was teaching at that stage. I'm not sure when. And then God just clearly spoke to us. Pack up and go. It was either... He's got such a pastoral heart. That kind of grows. Sorry, my love. We were really teaching at that moment. And yeah, from Rivia. And then after, I'll go check the facts afterwards. And then afterwards, or within that season, I'm just covering myself here. Making the trip home just so much different. Thanks, God. But in the midst of that process, she moved out to Mountbrook Private School. That was why I didn't know the exact time. Anyway, coming back to the testimony, God said to us, back up and go. So we just handled this thing out with the Lord. And it was this prophetic word that became kind of a big thing in our life, because we always had this dream to move out to the countryside, just have the basic form of life, just get back to the simple things of life and just ask God for the blueprint of marriage, get his blueprint for family and family life, and really just trust him for that lifestyle. And so we moved out eventually, after a long story. I can bore you with the details some other time. So we moved out there. Edna was pregnant with our firstborn, Frida. And so we decided in prayer, prayerfully, accountable about it, not just, seems like a good idea, I feel it's good, no. Just hearing from God, getting scripture, speaking to our accountability partners, and they all say yes. She left a job there at the second school, which I know was the Marcos Private School. And so we were still living in Malmesbury, and I was driving in and out to Steenberg from Malmesbury. That's quite a road, and I cried some mornings. Real man tears. Like real ones. Crocodile. So I was just not understanding what was going on, and we felt we need to move out. We knew it was God, we were accountable about it, we ticked all the right Christian boxes. And so we were out there, and then the recession hit, and the clients that I was dealing with at the corporate law firm that I was at, just landed them, we were a couple of cowboys, and so things just went pear-shaped, and I eventually got retrenched. So now we were sitting in Malmesbury, Edna left the job at Malcolm's private school, and I got retrenched. So now we're here in Malmesbury, and it's just like, what the goodness? What just happened?
Yes.
We followed God, and now the wheels just spectacularly came off.
Sure.
Now, it's not about our whole story, but we were there for 5 years in total, and about 3.5 of those years, we didn't have a proper income. Like the real proper income, not like a exuberant, just a proper income to get along. So we needed to get to know God and get to know the truth of his word and the provision. And we got to know him as a father, like you can't explain it. It was really a rich time, and I'm really thankful for that. But what I want to get back to is that just this peace thing. Because now you can just figure this out. You're in a different dorpie. You're there because God said you must move there. Nobody's got an income or a job. Firstly, you look weird, especially to Christians. They were the hardest nuts to crack at that stage to explain to them the situation that we created or that God created divinely, but we weren't sure at that stage. Now we know, but And we were wondering what to do, and then you've got parents-in-law and you've got all other stuff to worry about. There is pressure.
Yes.
Real pressure. Yes. There's tribulation. Jesus is not a liar. Hallelujah.
Yes.
But within this time, I got three opportunities for employment, and each time God said to me, no. Guys, I don't want to wreck Rainer's life either, so please hear my heart. We got word from God. It got confirmed, and we were properly accountable to fruit-bearing Christians. It wasn't just a skip that he hit, but I don't feel like it type of thing. It was really the fear of the Lord stuff. So hear my heart. I don't want you to call them on Monday and say, hey, guess what? Cry bad. And if it was so inspired. How did I have you? No, it wasn't like that. Yeah, I mean, God can do what, exactly just what he wants, he's sovereign. But, so it was a thing that we worked through with the Lord, but there was these three job opportunities, two in law, one in ministry, and each time God just clearly spoke to us in unity, and as I said, in accountability, and we just knew it was not God, we should not take that route.
Sure.
And that was quite tough to do. But you guess what, it wasn't anything that I could do. It was by the grace of God, because what happened? There was pressure. I seek peace. I said, Lord, where is your peace? Where is the one that I know I'm in right standing with you? My father-in-law, I love the guy. Might think I'm a bit crazy in the season. He'll come around. He'll like me again later. But I needed to get to a place where I'm not pleasing a bunch of people around me. But I needed to say, Lord, I desperately need to hear from you now. It is a bit crazy. Where am I in right standing with you?
Sure.
Where am I in right standing with you? Because there is the peace. Where's the peace that I know that I'm in right standing with you? And it wasn't faith in Christ, faith in the Word of God, faith in Matthew 6, to know that God will provide, not anything else. He will lead his people.
Amen.
And so it was these three occasions, in 3.5 years, and I'm guessing around that estimate, that I needed to get to know this. I've said these things to you, that in me you may have peace. Peace was not found in new employment. Peace was not found in a new opportunity. Peace was not found in a nicer or at least a salary. Or whatever the culture, and especially farmers breed, is a bit of a different culture, what the culture thinks about you. So we need to taste this. By God's grace, he did it. It's all the word inside. In the world, you will have tribulation, but take heart, I have become the world. And so that all made sense. Second scripture that Jesus refers to, we're heading to the end, John 14:27. Peace I leave with you. This is again Jesus speaking. You're the Prince of Peace. The only one that can lead us to peace. Jesus, saying the following, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you, not as the world gives. Guys, he does not give peace as the world gives. You don't have terminal tribulation, anxiety, and he pops you a couple of thousand quid in your bank account and say, relax, it's all in there. Yes, God can come through with finances, and he did so many times for us, praise the Lord, but it's a secondary thing. Primary thing is you seek peace with him, not in the finances, not in the car, not in the girlfriend, not in the spouse, not in the first kid, the second kid, the third kid, and definitely not the fourth kid. You get it in him. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you, not as the world gives. Give I to you, let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. There's this massive battle in our hearts, this battle of war for the peace that God's given us. Quick second testimony before we end off. In that time, without any money, I've at least given you the context so it's easier to explain. I had a real toothache and I didn't go, I like doctors, people. But I don't like going to them that often, unless it's for a bride or discipleship. I don't like to go to them. So I was carrying around this thing firstly, and secondly, I didn't have money for a dentist. So when the pain began so excruciatingly hard to handle, I went to the dentist, and she said, well, okay, cool, have a look. Just scanning injections. Said, cool, you need to come back for a root canal.
Yeah.
And I immediately thought, what the heck, Lord? There's no chance, I don't have the money for it. And there was some other stuff she had to do, but I remember the total was anything between 1,300 and 2,000 rand. Money that I did not have at all. So I just paid for that appointment, and the lady there at the front desk said, okay, cool, so when should we schedule your next appointment for the root canal and the other stuff? that expensive stuff. And I was just like, Lord, what do I do? And I just thought, well, I know God. So I made the appointment for a week later. Now, didn't have the cash. And every second day, or every day, maybe two times, I'll go into the bank and see, did anybody bless us? Because this Friday, not even, I don't mind what she's going to rip my mouth, I don't care, but I need to pay her. And so this thing is heading my way, and I know God's going to provide, and then I go back to God and I say, Lord, what should I do about this? He just constantly says to me, well, just give me this absolute peace through His Spirit that I need to go to this appointment. Mm-hmm. And then a couple of hours later, I'm troubled, and I just go and look again. And so I knew God's going to come through. The Thursday night before the appointment, I just go into the bank account and there's nothing in there. We probably had about $400 or $500, but it's not nearly enough, and there's other expenses, as you know in life. And so I thought, well, okay, Lord, it's probably going to come through tomorrow morning, but, or should I go? Phone them and cancel. I'll just please tell them you're not going to cancel this appointment. So the next morning, I got up early. I probably went onto the bank site before I did my quiet time, and I went in and there was nothing, and I was just freaking out. And then I just go back to God. Where's my right standing with the Lord? There, oh, I lost it. Okay, yeah. Back. What do you say? Cancel? No, don't cancel. I'm like, I'm just going. Glad you're going to rip me all here today. So I was in the office at the front desk, sitting and waiting for my, what was it, 9, 10 o'clock appointment for this massive expensive, what for me was a massive expensive expedition. Mm. Going on to the bank again. You know, seeking peace, the wrong place. Mm. Amen. Nothing. And I'm like, Lord, what now? He says, go on.
Sure.
I'm like, Lord, this is crazy. Anyway, God and smile, God and smile. Yes. I might be stealing from you today. So I'm just like, God, whatever. It's no longer my life. I really, my heart is open before you. I want to do the right thing. I just can't. You're telling me with nothing else from outside but from an inner peace and your voice that I need to go. Anyway, I'm going to lie down. She just works. She just goes. She doesn't spare any expense, I guess. It's drilled. It's in. It's out. I don't care about the pain. Talk nonsense here, Arish here in the background, and then she's done. And I'm like, okay, what? Am I going to tell her? And she just says, please, will you just, anything we cut, will you just look here? Because I knew she was just fiddling around with the drill bits, and then this, and then that. And she shows me a scan of my tooth, and she said, you know what? Mm-hmm. I did the whole thing. Mm-hmm. But my smallest, finest drill bit, and it's, she said it's like the half of the width of her hair. It's like insane small. She can just not get to that most deepest point. She won't get in there.
Sure.
She says this thing will never give you any problem. But I can't rightfully say to you that I did this process. Mm-hmm. Because I couldn't get into that point. You'll never have a problem. I did this mortal canal 100% properly, but I just couldn't get into the last place. So I'll probably have to only charge you for a stopsel. What's a stopsel? A filling. And I'm like, I wanted to start to laugh, and that was, I think, 200, 250, 300 grand.
Sure.
So what I expected was this bill of 2,000 grand, or almost 2,000 grand. Mm-hmm. And she comes back, she does all that good. She said, I could just not get into there, so I don't feel comfortable with asking you the perfect price. You can just have it for the price of the filling.
Sure.
And you walk out there, not even caring about your mouth, you just think, God, this is an amazing God. You almost killed me. And it's so simple, but it's a childlike favor, it's a childlike freedom, just to walk in that constant relationship with the Lord. I believe, we're going to skip a couple of things because we don't have time, but I like to get practical with these things. Guys, this is not the one, so it's not only for salvation. That peace is something that we need to taste daily. Now, I explained previously, it's like, and I believe this is walking in the Spirit. It's just saying, Lord, where am I like staying with you? Where do I sense your peace? Because peace, I don't have peace, I have peace, I don't have peace. It becomes a bit of a cliche maybe sometimes between Christians. But have you thought through what it really means? When I say I've got peace about it, we should have a bride to your house on Sunday, I have peace about it. Is that witchcraft? or is it God? In other words, are you in right standing with the fear of God, saying that God is ordained us to have a bride at your house? Cool, then well, I'm gonna bride my house. But the thing is, it shouldn't be a cliche. It should be a place where we say, I'm walking in the fear of the Lord, or at least I'm trying my best by the grace of God to walk in the fear of the Lord. By faith in Christ, in who he is, I put him on. I have his peace and I follow my God. I can't kneel before or throw myself before men the whole time. I need to know. And you know what? If you walk in the fear of the God and in true peace with the Spirit of God, it will be the biggest blessing to the people around you.
Amen.
It will be the biggest blessing to your spouse and children. It will be the biggest blessing to the people at work, in the family, in the church, if you walk in that. But be accountable as well. I don't think God has called us to be used candidates. He'll always put people in place around you to say, hey man, wisdom is found in the counsel of him. We'll just help you with that peace as we grow. It's not a case walking in the Spirit, sensing God's peace. It's not a sense of you just get it and you just go. I believe it's something you learn. And some people might say, I need to feel a bit mechanical about it. Are you going to pray about everything? Yes, I am. Until I can run. Until I just know my Father's voice. I know that I'm a sheep and he's my shepherd. A young baby, the first couple of steps is massive, intense. It's like, uncle follows and aunt follows. It's a massive story. It takes time. You need to focus to take those couple of steps. Likewise with walking in the Spirit. Likewise with following God and just sensing, am I in right standing with my God? Usain Bolt. It's not that big a deal if he walks. He's kind of good at walking. He's even better at running. But it's not. We're not standing still taking photos. Oh, he's walking. He's walking. Is that Levi's? Is that Guess what? He's walking. No, we're not freaking out. He's learned the art of walking and he's running quite fast. But if you are learning to walk, if you're learning to walk in the Spirit, if you're learning to follow God and trusting him for that right standing in peace, take your time. You'll get to it. And remember to always hold Christ before you. I'm not going to throw any scriptures in there. Let's, somebody just grab there. Let's just stand quickly. I just want to pray to this. But just with all eyes closed, if you've really never ever sensed God's peace, that peace that you know that you're right standing with God, the one that created you, the one that loves you, if you've never tasted that peace ever before in your life, just with all eyes closed, and you would like that today, you would like to exchange your anxieties and your fears, this turmoil that you sense in your life, you want to exchange that today before God and say, yes, I want to receive Christ, the Prince of Peace in my life. And I don't know how, I don't need to understand anything today, but I want him to restore peace into my soul. I want him to bring that contentment into my life. If that is you, just with all other eyes closed, please God. If that is you in saying, I want the Prince of Peace, I want to know what peace feels like by giving my life to the Lord. If that is you, Jesus, raise your hand and give an indication to God. Amen. Thank you, God. Amen. Amen. If you guys have raised your hand, if you don't mind just coming here in front and just come stand here in the corner, you're not going to make a big thing. You come with me, sir.
Would you?
Yes.
I want the peace. So go
with if there's anybody that on the ministry team that can quickly come and pray with them, guys, we'll appreciate it. If there's a couple of guys that come and pray with them, thank you, guys. Thank you. We'll just pray with them.
Amen.
Just with your eyes closed, let's just trust the Lord. And then we get to the scripture in Mark 4. Jesus was asleep in the boat. The disciples freaks out like they go nuts because of the storm and the wind. They have this moment like that we get in life, that there's a storm raging in your life and you don't know what to do. Jesus is asleep and you're thinking, God, do you want to kill us? How cool is it that Jesus wakes up and he just He stills the storm. He says, peace to the wind and the waves. And then he says to you, to them, why do you have so little faith? Where's your faith? Now, just with your eyes closed, if there's any of you guys that's really, you're in a situation or there's an area in your life that really produces this anxiety and fear and stress, and like Jesus did in the boat, you just want him to come and speak into this place. You just want to bring him into a place of right standing before God. Just bring the truth of the gospel again to this situation. Bring perspective. Bring peace to the specific area of your life. If there's any such things in your life, can you just raise your hand, guys? Is anybody with something like that in their life? Just high up. Great stuff. Thank you, Father. I'll just call because you're going to pray over us and just receive it by faith. Lord, we thank you. Thank you for your blood, Jesus. Thank you for these fellow brothers and sisters that are facing a moment of something that brings forth anxiety and fear in their life. We just firstly speak to each and every one of these situations in their lives, and we just say, perfect love casts out all fear. Perfect love casts out all fear. Perfect love casts out all fear. Perfect love is Jesus Christ. Perfect sacrifice towards us. We just say, thank you, Jesus, for your truth and your revelation in each one of these lives. They woke up, Jesus, and he then took over the situation. Jesus, thank you that we know that you're the same yesterday, today, forever. And you're not sleeping at the moment. So we just ask that your truth be awakened in these situations.
Amen.
I pray, if necessary, that right standing before God can just come into place again. These people just that have raised their hands, I believe you can just minister individually and you can just maybe share if you want to. You jump forward and then you can just come and share with somebody what that problem is, what that situation is. We bring it into the light and then we just ask for God just to bring the right standing, the peace in the back. So if you raise your hand and you feel comfortable, please come forward and we would just like the ministry team to come and pray with you. Come by us, I know there's a couple of you. Come and have your peace. We're going to just bring it into the light. Just before we end off, we're going to pray here in front. If there's any of the challenges, anybody else available, please come and pray with the guys here in front. Just lastly, let's quickly pray. If you just want to walk in the Spirit and grow in seeking God's peace, just in a day-to-day basis, I'm just quickly going to pray over all of us because I believe it's probably all of our hearts. Lord, we thank you for coming together today. Lord, I pray that there will be a people that walk by the Spirit and not the flesh. I pray that there will be a people that constantly know that you're accepted and can have only peace with God through Christ Jesus. We pray that there will be a people that are in right standing with our God with the knowledge and the wisdom and the truth of Christ that abides in our lives. Help us in Jesus' name to grow in that. I pray that we
Amen.
Okay, guys, we're going to end off. The rest of you, I guess you can go and have a bit of coffee, but please, for those that can pray with us, let's pray for these brothers and sisters and just trust God to pray for their lives. Have an awesome week, guys. God bless you.